Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 601. It's that time of year again. You have your FDH Lounge pigskin talkers, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, breaking down the NFL for you week by week, game by game. We got NFL week one for you, of course, this week. And just to briefly recap last year's records, I was 135, 128, and 4 overall, 27, 23, and 1 on my big three, a mere 6-11 on my lock picks, promised to do better this year. Kyle, 53 and 37 last year. Much better, of course, than a number of things, not least of which, by the way, my college football number, Kyle, which I totaled up at the end of last year, 75, 75, and 3, the very definition of mediocrity. I'm off to a 1-4 start this season with college football, so looking for a little bit of redemption here. You, of course, with the 53 and 37 last year, need none.
Thank you, and it's great to be doing another year of this. By the way, as I listen to that theme song and you bring up college football, I got to wonder, when the two men were standing out there in the late night drizzle, was one of them complaining about college football rankings, is my question to you.
He probably was, yeah.
Okay, anyway, now that we've lost the audience, the record 2 minutes into the program, let's go on. Just so everyone's clear here, because obviously, you've got, when you give away those, you talk about those records, you've got a much larger sample size in there. Just if anyone new to this program, we should let them know the way this works is you, anal retentive bastard that you are, pick every game. Even if there is no line, you'll just make one up and make a pick. Do not like playing every game. I think that's a little silly, but I try to give out as many as I can. And that's what I do. So I'm a little more gutless and don't give out every game. But this week I have 6, which is on the high end, I feel. You know, week one's interesting because they always say to tread lightly with the first week. But I feel that I had so much time to think about it that, I'm just rolling with it. There's a number of games, the 6 obviously that I really like, and then the others I just have kind of no regard for. So that's where I'm at, and I'm looking forward to another season. Hopefully we can duplicate what I did last year. And I bet you're going to do a little bit better, especially at the beginning. Remember last year you got off to that woeful start.
Yes,
and big three there. So this year I'm predicting big things. So I'd say that I don't want to be against any of your big three early on in the season, but I already know that I'm against one of them. So we'll have that debate at the end of the show. And let's kick it off, though, man. We got Patriots. Steelers and
absolutely.
Patriots to kick the season off.
By the way, I think it was 2 years ago I started 0-12 on my big three, but yeah, that will go down in infamy, no doubt.
Oh, that was
about
2 years ago? That was 2 years ago? I'm getting these all mixed up. Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
don't think I would have bounced back to 27-23-1 if it was last year, but yeah, like you, it's getting a little harder for me to remember year to year at this point here. You are right. We start with Pittsburgh and New England for the Thursday night opener, and I think for once we'll actually have this up in time for people to catch for at least a short window of time before the game. That line started, recently at 6 points. It was down, as you said, off air around 2, 2.5 before Brady was reinstated. It's up to 7 at this point in time. Pittsburgh with a very, very bad pass defense, with the fact that they are pretty much pwned by the Patriots. Every time they went to the Super Bowl in the last decade, they had another team take out New England along the way. Look it up, kids, so they deserve an asterisk by every recent Super Bowl appearance. Pittsburgh just can't hang with New England, and they won't with a charged-up Patriots team on opening night here. I like the Patriots laying the 7.
I'm not playing this one. I'll say this. I tip my cap, obviously, to anyone who was smart enough to bet New England when they were down to 2.5, when Brady was, quote-unquote, suspended by the league. If you got that line, good job. I think you're going to win. If you did not do that, which I didn't, Then, I don't know, you might want to consider the total instead. I agree with almost everything you said except the asterisk thing. I think that's a little much. But the Patriots are clearly the better team. Although, I don't, you know, and I said this in the preview show that we did when we went through all the teams on previous mini-episodes. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. But the same holds true for Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's probably going to regress more, especially with the recent rash of injuries slash suspensions. Let's not forget, you know, all the talk about Brady has kind of overshadowed the fact that Pittsburgh will not have Le'Veon Bell in this game, and they won't have their center either, Pouncey. So, and then the receiver got suspended. So they're in a lot of trouble. I would not endorse the play on the Steelers. But unfortunately, I think you've missed out on the value if you like the Patriots. So I'm passing on Thursday night. Maybe I'll do something with a total, let the public bet it up, and then go under.
Don't blame you for that one. We go to the games on Sunday. We've got Green Bay at Chicago, an interesting case here with the road favorites. This one is at 6.5, at 1.3.5, so it's gotten bet way up. Chicago, of course, I'm sure the public is looking at a lot of the same things we are. Chicago's got a very bad pass defense. They've obviously tried to rebuild it from last year, but they don't match
they
up.
They just
well
have a very bad defense, I think. Yeah, they just have a very bad defense in general.
Overall,
yeah.
Yes. I'll tell you what, I was going to be like all the mouth breathers in the public on Green Bay until Mike McCarthy started running his mouth, and then it's this goes to the overall syndrome I was talking about with Green Bay and Seattle this year. I just think it's a little bit too obvious on both of these teams being big favorites. I think this is a micro of the season right here. I don't think they lose outright, but I don't think they're going to cover the 6.5. I'd take the Bears. I think the Packers are a little cocky right now.
Let me ask you something. When you were looking at these lines independently.
Yeah.
Meaning I was not there, and you were just into coming to your own decisions. And you yes. looked at this line. Did you think to yourself, I'd bet come showtime Kyle is going to be on the Bears?
This had the ring of it.
Well, guess what? I am on the Bears. We talked about in our preview, that I'll reference that a bunch of times because obviously since we've done it, not too much has changed. But although I picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl this year, I think they're going to have a disappointing regular season. They had a lot of luck in last year's regular season. They were really good in close games, you know, namely they had good injury luck, which already, you know, has kind of bitten them this year. They, you know, lost Jordy Nelson basically for the season, it looks like. And there is a little overconfidence here. I think this line is crazy. I don't care what the matchup is. A home team to be getting 6.5, and you know, if you go to my favorite, 5 dimes, I think they're still dealing 7 there, which is a which is worth laying a little extra juice because 7's obviously a key number. I think it's crazy for a road team. Usually you get, you know, used to this off air. I know there's some games that you're going to be on where you think it's pretty vanilla lines, and vanilla lines are usually the rule of day in week one of NFL. You see a lot of, like, lines that are real close to 3 points. This is just too many points. The Bears have not done well against the Packers in the past. There's no doubt about it, and that's probably why McCarthy said what he had. But John Fox, debut at home, he's got a history of improving defenses right off the bat in week one. I think the Bears are going to have a better record than most people think. I said that in a preview show. I would not be surprised, Rick Morris, Richard Y. Morris, that is, if the Bears won this game outright. I'm going to be honest with you. That might sound crazy. Do not be surprised if the Bears steal this game. Go money line if you'd like, folks, but I'm going to take the points. That's my first recommendation of the 2015 regular season Chicago Bears.
Steal would be the operative word if they did, but, yeah, I mean, I think anything's possible, particularly if they get some turnovers. Next up, one of the tougher games of the week, I think, to pick, because you have two teams, I think, that are probably not going to be too far apart in the standings this year. You've got a short home favorite here. Houston is only laying 1. They had been laying 2.5 at one point against Kansas City. This is an instance where I am on the road dog outright here. I think Kansas City is the better team of the two. They certainly have a more settled situation at quarterback, And I think this is one where, again, we've talked about it before. They laid a big egg week one last year against Tennessee. That should make me think twice about this, but I don't think it's going to repeat itself. Against a better team, I think they go in on the road, relatively short trip by plane, too. But I think they can go into Houston and get it done.
I'm staying away here, and that might surprise you because I like the Chiefs this season. I have them making the playoffs. They are the better team coming into the year on paper. I certainly agree with you there. But that's kind of factored into the line, and I don't like short road underdogs generally. I'm good, and you referenced what happened to Kansas City last year in week one with a real head-scratcher results the regular season. They got killed by Tennessee, like 33-15 or something like that. It was, you know, and Tennessee only won one more time after that.
Yeah, it was
okay,
weird.
All right, well, regardless, you know, it was they lost by double digits to a team that won two games.
Right.
You know, Houston's going to regress this year. I don't really like Brian Hoyer as their quarterback, although Bill O'Brien did wonders with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. But
yep.
I'm staying away. I'm going to stay away. If the Chiefs do win this game, then I'll feel a little foolish about that. But there's just better opportunities elsewhere in week one.
You would think so, definitely. Next up, we've got Indianapolis at Buffalo. You've got a road favorite in this one here, Colts laying 2.5. Buffalo, I think at this point, and this may be a sign of when we're taping this, but I think unlikely to have LeSean McCoy, although he may be back at somewhat hobbled strength as a late decision here. But to a situation where you're already looking at a tremendous imbalance at the quarterbacks between the two teams,
yeah.
That being, of course, that's a position that kind of matters a little bit in the NFL here. So this was a borderline one, not making one of my big three for this week, but I am all over Indianapolis. It's only a measure of how much I like the other picks that I'm making better than this. I like the Colts to go in, forget the 2.5. I think they're just going to lay the wood to them.
Yeah, I'm shocked that this isn't one of your big three. This had road favorite Ricky written all over it. You talk about the quarterback position, as I make myself a nice glass of water. I apologize if the recording caught that. I just got really thirsty. And you have Andrew Luck, who is, what, second-best quarterback in the league behind Aaron Rodgers? I think that's a fair comment.
Yep.
The Bill, what we will call the Bills quarterback situation, for lack of a better term, is arguably the worst in the league. That position is really important. I almost recommended the Colts this week, which shows you how crazy I think this line is. There is absolutely the potential for the Colts to blow Buffalo out of the water, but it just goes against my DNA to take a 2.5-point road favorite that looks this obvious, especially when that 2.5-point road favorite has an alarming amount of public support, which you'd expect. I believe about over 80% of all bets on this game have been on the Colts, and yet the line hasn't gone up as much as you think. So I don't know. Somebody must be betting the Bills, and I certainly won't, but I'm going to stay away from this one. Although I can't disagree with you if you like the Colts. This is one where, you know, I mean, the square, you know, I always make fun of square bets and stuff like that. They're not always wrong. And this is one
yep.
of those instances where it to me looks like the right side. If you play Buffalo here, you're playing the side.
I think that's definitely the case. We have up next a game with some real historical significance because it is the rubber match between Super Bowls 7 and 17. They are 1-1 going into this rubber match here. It's Miami at Washington. The Dolphins laying 3.5 on the road. Speaking of road favorites here, up from 1.5 initially. And this was a tough one for me.
Yeah.
Looking at it week one, I'm always struggling to pick any dogs in any circumstance. And yet I try not to have a real big imbalance here. Anytime I'm even borderline where I can make a case for somebody, I will go that way. I am 100% convinced that my fish are winning this game. 3.5, you know, a lot of times I laugh when you talk about the hook. I'm not laughing here. This one's got Miami by a field goal written all over it. So I'm going to take the Redskins in the 3.5.
Oh, okay. Short window there. So I like Miami a lot this year. I told you about that in the preview. I think they're a playoff team. I think Tannehill improves. I think they surround with a lot of weapons. The defense allowed to be better with Sue. But I told you this off-air, and I'm standing by it, which would be odd if I didn't because that was like a 20-minute – we talked about it 20 minutes ago. But I would rather – the way Washington is shaping up to be a disaster again this year. I mean, this team is so foolish off the field. It's just mystifying. I mean, they and the Browns are like the two most incompetently run organizations in the sport. But here's the thing with Washington. So they're going with Kirk Cousins as the starter for the foreseeable future. I've said it before on the program. I'm not a believer in RG3, but I'm not a believer in Cousins either long-term. The long-term solution at quarterback is not on this roster right now. It's not Colt McCoy either, sports fans. I would rather go against Washington when Cousins is off a good game because he's not capable of playing two good games in a row. He's shown that throughout his career. So I'm going to sit out here. Miami's getting all the public support here. I think they're the most bet favorites right now. Nope, Green Bay is, which makes me feel good about that one, my Bears pick there. But Miami, 85% of the bets here are on them, and I'm not going to join the public, especially with the number being bet over three. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Dolphins plot a close one here as well.
Okay, so the headline is Rick is on the Redskins, and Kyle would be on the Redskins if he was making a pick. So, all right, we move along to the next one here.
Kyle would be on Washington. Wait, hold on. Let me correct you there. Kyle would be on Washington, maybe.
The Redskins, yes. up next, the battle of the two teams that came into the NFL at the same time back in the 90s here, 95. It's Carolina at Jacksonville. This is a line where Carolina is laying three, up from 2.5 initially. There's a perception out there, obviously, that there is still, I think, mostly because Jacksonville has sucked, a wide gap between these two teams, or at least a moderate gap. I don't see as much when I look at them, more so because I have less respect for Carolina and where they're at right now than a lot of people do. You know, you call me road favorite Ricky. This is where it might be, I guess, missionary position Ricky. The home team, Jacksonville, whatever. I just don't think Carolina they're not a team that I would pick to win on the road too many times. I don't think they're good enough to go in and do it that much, and not even at Jacksonville. So give me the Jags on the three.
This is the ugliest game of the week. I got nothing for you here.
Tampa Bay, Tennessee.
Well, that game excites me at least because at least there you got the two, you know, the matchup of the top, of the quarterbacks taking atop the draft. At least that's something. I mean,
right.
This is just like, I mean, you know, the fact that they came into the league together 20 years ago isn't really, you know, wetting my whistle, quite frankly. Carolina 14-3 is a favorite the last 2 years. That's kind of impressive. Jacksonville's been a dog in all but one game the last 2 years. They're 6-25 there. So history's not on the Jags side, but I'm with you. I don't like the Panthers that much at all coming into the year. But unfortunately, I don't like the Jaguars either, so this is an easy pass for me. This is the first one I scratched out.
Okay. The next game I know is not going to be one where you're agreeing with my thought process very much. You've got Seattle laying 4 points, had been 4.5, on the road at St. Louis. This is a situation here where it goes to what I've said about Green Bay and Seattle for the season. And I guess, again, sort of a micro-level thing of what I expect from Seattle during the year. Super Bowl hangover. Cam Chancellor, is he going to show up to play? You know, what does that secondary look like at this point here? They're still making their adjustments offensively. Having said all of that, again, it's a measure of my diminished respect for St. Louis at this point. I don't know that it's going to be by much more than four, but I would take Seattle to win in this game and cover the four. And I know to you that probably seems like a classic road favorite Ricky scenario.
Not really. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to disagree with you here. Seattle's a very good team. I'm not as concerned about the secondary as it seems you are. They still have a couple guys named Sherman and Thomas back there. You know, Pete Carroll coach team's always going to have a good secondary. I think the offense is going to be just fine outside of a lot. Now, here's my big question in this game. Seattle's offensive line, which is their weak spot, their only weak spot, against the Rams' defensive line,
ooh,
which is their only strength. It's funny as when you look at the totality of the two teams, the Seahawks are much better on paper, except for that one matchup where the Rams are way better.
Wow.
The Rams did beat Seattle last year, remember, here in St. Louis. Remember that.
Yes.
They ran Jeff Fisher, who I think is way too conservative for his own good, coached like an underdog in that the way an underdog coach should. He brought out all the gadget plays. Remember they ran that crazy punt return were that misdirection, and then they were faking punts and stuff like that. It was what they really needed to do, and it was the reason they won. I think Seattle will be ready for some of that gimmickry here. I don't see them losing this game, I'll tell you that much, but I'm not getting involved here. This is a hard one for me. A lot of road favorites this week, by the way. A lot of road favorites.
There are. Yeah, that's the way the schedule's set up. Earl Thomas is another guy here, too. I mean, he's going to play, and you know that Cam Chancellor's still on the bubble as the one we're taping this. But, again, after his off-season surgery, how close to 100% is he going to be? So my questions go beyond Chancellor, but we shall see on that one. Next up here, your 2015 NFC champion Arizona Cardinals will be hosting
New
Orleans Saints this week.
that pick, I'll be honest with you, so I thought after we did the taping, and you posted, by the way, all our AFC and NFC previews, which I believe you are divided into two parts each, are already up, and people can listen to them, and they're really, really good. I really encourage people to listen. We give a projection on every team's win total. And there were some things that afterwards got me to thinking. I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, Ricky had a point. But God damn, man, do I disagree with that. Like, Arizona is the NFC champion. Like, I just, like, although I'll say this, two other guys, the two folks from Grantland, Barnwell and Mays, we can name drop here, right? They did their preview, and it's funny that there were two teams that they really disagreed on, Arizona and San Diego. And in both cases, you were the Robert Mays of the podcast, where I was the Barnwell, which is to be expected since there's probably no one who I read out there that I kind of have a more similar opinion to than Barnwell. So I just wanted to say with Arizona, you know, we'll talk about San Diego later in the show, but with this area, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. But if Bruce Arians does, like, I'm to the point now, and this can be trouble because you don't want to get biased and you can get in trouble with this. I'm willing to just go to the grave fighting Bruce Arians at this point. I just am. This team does not look that good. Like, and since we last talked, we did that. The offensive line situation's gotten worse. I don't know how this team's going to score.
I'm a big Barnwell guy too, so that kind of gives me some pause. By the way, they're laying 2.5 here to New Orleans, down from 3 initially. I'll concede this. I think my thought process on the NFC is sound. I think it's coming from somewhere other than Green Bay or Seattle. I just can't make a good enough case for anybody right now. Arizona is sort of my default go-to because I can't make a case for anybody else. It's a conservative pick for me, fill in your punchline here, because I can't make a case for anybody in the NFC, so they're sort of my stand-in. Nevertheless, again, and this game for me is all about the macro. If I'm going to make a case for them to win 11 games in the division, they got to win this game against a team like New Orleans that, in a lot of ways, I think is a slowly sinking ship. I like Arizona minus the 2.5, and I think it could be a touchdown or better.
I don't like this game, so enough about that. I'm just going to say this with your sort of world view of the league this year. This can get me. This is where I kind of do see what you're saying. Now, I don't agree. It's funny how you just described how you came about to choosing Arizona as your NFC pick, because I don't disagree with your thought process. I do think that after we were done recording those shows, I did think, by the way, I'm like, you know, he's probably right that after the last 2 years where the chalk walked in the playoffs, meaning, you know, we had the top seeds advance to the Super Bowl each of the last 2 years, that we are due for kind of that random, you know, Giants-esque, you know, for lack of a better term, because they were the kind of the poster child for that the last, you know, over the last, whatever, 8 years when they did it twice. A team that just gets hot, is a lower seed in the playoffs, and just makes a run. We probably are due for that this year. I really, because each of the top teams have obvious flaws, I cannot endorse Arizona in any way, including in this game. I'll be honest. I'm with you. The Saints are going to be better this year than they were last year, only because I don't see them losing 5 times at home again. But interestingly, they were 4-1 on grass last year. They had a really weird season. I don't know where to go in this game. And this is one of those things that if Arizona wins here, I'm going to be you know, cursing Bruce Arians in his hat again. But even if they win here, I remain steadfast that the Cardinals regress big time in 2015.
Ah, yes, the Saints with their famed 4-1 ass or grass, nobody rides for free road record last year. But nevertheless, I still like Arizona in this one. Up next, the battle of the rookie quarterbacks we talked about a little bit earlier. It is Tennessee at Tampa Bay. You have the Bucs laying 3 in this one, had been 2.5 previous to that. You and I have talked about this a little bit before. Again, Tampa Bay is, as has been written about on Grantland this year and in previous years, they're a team that sort of divides the prognostication community here, because there's a big school of thought among a lot of us that they've really kind of underperformed the last couple of years. I don't lump them with the bottom feeders of the league quite as much. So I think it's a little bit of a misnomer to say that they're as bad as Tennessee in the first place. They're at home. They're only laying the standard 3. Give me the Bucs in this one, no question.
You know me. It's not just, you know, there's a lot of places, including my mind, where Tampa Bay stands to make a major jump. I got them making the playoffs this year as a 6th seed in the NFC.
Wow.
Which stands, as you know, we talked about, I think they're going to win 9 games. This certainly on paper probably needs to be one of those 9. But here's the thing. Why is Tampa Bay going to be better this year? What are some of the, you know, the metrics where they've underperformed? Close games. They're going to win this game close. We talk about vanilla lines and it's going to be a 3-point game. To me, I absolutely see Tampa Bay probably winning this game by 3. You may want to go with the over in this game if you want a total, because both these teams were kind of big under teams this year. Not people are, you know, predictably hesitant about 2 rookie quarterbacks going against one another. Pretty low number. If you're going to play this game, I would look at the over and, I don't know, 24-21 Tampa Bay maybe could be your final score here. That's what I'll give out. Tennessee, I think, like Tampa, although not to the same degree, is going to improve this year. I think both these teams win a lot more than they did in 2014, which is pretty easy since they combined for all of 4 wins last year.
You and I kind of disagree on that. I am still casting a jaundiced eye towards the Titans roster, but we'll have to see how that one pans out. We have a West Coast game up next here. It's Cincinnati at Oakland. You have the Bengals laying another road favorite here, laying 3.5 on the road, up from the 3 initially. And I'm going to go back to my talking point about the Miami-Jacksonville game here. Again, the hook is what's making me
Miami
consider
Washington.
This all together here. Miami-Washington. It's the hook.
Wouldn't want to forget about that Super Bowl rematch.
Exactly, the rubber match between them. This has been a long time coming, by the way, since I think the second of those 2 Super Bowls was 1983. But you have the Raiders in this one here, who actually beat, by the way, Washington in the Super Bowl the next year. Coincidence! But you have them getting the 3.5 here. I see the hook playing into this game here. This is a case where I think Oakland's going to be a little bit improved this year. I think Cincinnati's going to be a little bit down. It's a game where I think the Raiders could win outright. Don't think they will, but I think they'll stay inside the 3.5.
Oh, really? See, I think the Raiders probably win this game outright. Although, give me the hook and give me the Raiders. I just realized I only had one recommendation so far. It's not like I'm bored and just want to make one for the heck of it. I had Oakland as a recommendation coming to this program, and here's the thing with the Raiders. I looked at their schedule. It's kind of interesting. They open the year with 3 games against AFC North teams. 2 of them at home, this one and then next week against Baltimore. And then they're at Cleveland in what will be the first of many dreaded Oakland Raiders in the Eastern time zone games. We know how well they do in those.
Right.
The answer is not very well. So, to me, they've got to win one of those 3 games. And although the Browns are obviously the weakest team in the AFC North, this game to me, and I know this can be a dangerous strategy when you look at it like this, it can be very dangerous, but I think this is the most winnable of the 3 games, to be honest with you. Baltimore is a much better team, so I don't see them beating the Ravens. Then there's the 1 o'clock situation with the Browns. The Raiders are going to be a tough out this year, and I'm with you that the Bengals regress. The Bengals, I'm kind of liking them less and less as we get closer to season.
Okay.
You know, I think like 7 or 8 wins. The playoff run is going to end this year. And if the playoff run is going to end, that means they're going to lose some games like this one. Give me the Raiders. Would not be surprised if they pulled out the outright upset. Also, a late start for the Bengals when we're talking time zones. Late start.
It is indeed. Yes, it is. 6 games left in our remaining 15 minutes here. We have up next Baltimore at Denver. The Broncos are laying 4.5 up from 4 initially. Again, still, I think, thinking about that unfathomable playoff loss a couple of years ago at home here, the motivation of the way that last season ended. I like Denver. I think they'll cover the 4.5 in this one.
Yeah, this is kind of a no man's land number for me. And after getting the trademark Rick Morris, hurry your ass up, Kyle, we're running out of time speech, I will just say let's circle this game right now, because I think at the end of the year, it could be outcome of this could very well determine who gets the number 2 seed in the AFC. It's funny that I just said that I don't like Cincinnati. As we get closer, I don't like Cincinnati that much as we get closer and closer to the regular season. I kind of like Baltimore a little bit more and more, to be honest with you, but not enough to take them here.
I didn't say that, Kyle Ross, but I will say, in the words of the great Bob Barker, to me, you are a very discerning individual. So,
okay,
up next,
you.
We have the Dallas Cowboys hosting the New York Giants. This one here is Cowboys weighing 6, had been 5 initially. Everybody loves the Cowboys here in this spot. I am a noted skeptic on the Giants, much more of a skeptic than you are this year. But in what should be a wild offensive battle, I think the Giants can get inside the 6. I'll be on the Giants here.
Look, I like the Giants this year. You just alluded to it. I got them winning this division. Not a lot of people do. I think that you rewind 365 days, the way we're talking about the Giants coming into this season sounds a lot like the way we're talking about Dallas coming into last season. And as we know, Cowboys wound up winning the division despite having what looked on paper to be a horrific defense. The Giants could score enough points, and their passing game is going to carry them this season. I think when you look at the 4 teams in this division, it's, you know, I made mention this in our preview episode of the NFC. I think the NFC East is going to be a lot of shootouts. The Giants are, I think, most equipped to win those games. With, you know, Eli Manning is going to improve in his second year in a new system. He's going to have a full complement of receivers. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants won this game outright. That's my third recommendation, +6.
Speaking of shootouts, I mean, one of the things that troubles me about the Giants this year is that their best pass rusher, JPP, can throw up a gang sign without even trying to right now. So that kind of concerns me a little bit, no question.
Well, that's inappropriate.
That probably is. We go to the Monday Nighter games here. Up first, we have Atlanta hosting Philadelphia. This is a rematch of the NFC Championship game of several years ago. And this is one where Atlanta is actually getting 3 points at home here. Had been 1 initially. A lot of people on Philadelphia. Massive offseason turnover. I'd feel better about this if the hook was involved. But somehow or another, strangely enough, I like Atlanta, and I'm picking them to win the South. So if I'm right about that, I got to figure this is a game that they would win. I will take the Falcons and what I think a number of people would consider to be a decent upset.
Only have 4 games left, and I have 3 recommendations still to come, and this will be the first of those 3. I think the wrong team is favored here. I as well have the Falcons winning the South. Even in the, you know, as bad as Mike Smith was, Falcons won a lot of home games during his tenure. I don't know which way to go on the Eagles for the year. There's so much turnover, but in week 1, I'm going against them. Give me the Falcons. I wouldn't be surprised at another outright win here. So my 4th recommendation.
Could very well be. That really wouldn't surprise me at all if it went that way. We get now to the games that are among my big 3 recommendations for this week. 27-23-1 on these last year. Up first, my Cleveland Browns. They are at the New York Jets. So this is one where the Browns are getting 3 that had been 2.5 initially. This is one where, again, your first thought in looking at the schedule as a Browns fan, it's hilarious because you've got 3 games coming up at the beginning of the season are pretty soft on what is a difficult schedule. Really only San Francisco later on. It's another game where they're likely to be favored. So the first thought is the schedule sets up nicely for the Browns. This is a team now that has its offensive line coach suspended, allegedly for domestic battery, has its general manager suspended for the first four games, has its lead wide receiver superstar suspended for the entire season, has Johnny Manziel on the roster. Turmoil much? So the circumstances here, I just have to laugh, because, again, nobody has much respect for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I understand that. But to even begin to conflate Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown, you talk about vanilla week one lines. This is why I joke about this, that if the Browns were playing the 89-49ers week one, Vegas would maybe be like, okay, maybe the Browns should be getting six, not quite a touchdown. Vegas doesn't take a stand a lot of times week one, and to not smell how bad the Browns situation is at this particular moment in time against the Jets team at home. The Browns, I think, have only won two games in the opener since coming back in 99. They're one of the worst game one teams in sports. I am all over the Jets here laying the three.
Look, I can't really disagree with anything you said, except my team. I don't know why anyone would want to claim the Browns as their team. I mean, just such a horse manure organization. You laid it out there very eloquently. But here's the thing. You're forgetting one small thing. The Jets were not very good last year. And I'd be a little bit and here's the thing. I think the Jets are going to be better this year and the Browns are going to be worse. I would not be surprised if the Browns, they'll be favored against the Raiders in week three, probably by a very small margin. Now, if they're 0-2, it might be by less than three. And then you're right, San Francisco, if the Niners are as bad as we think, that could be a favorite. Those will be the only two games that they're favored all year, probably. The Browns are a very bad team, but I'm leery of the Jets laying points. This smells like, I think this could be a field goal game where the Browns lose at the end. So.
Exactly. I mean, and again, you're right about that with the Jets. They have a lot of their own problems. And I keep saying about the Browns, too, they're artificially bad because they're so horrific at quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end. Now, those positions kind of matter, but the defense really, I think, is pretty good and much improved. Danny Shelton, I think, is going to be a beast. I mean, the Browns quietly are going to be a good team in a number of ways. Maybe the best 4-12 team of all time, but nevertheless a 4-12 team. Here's hoping Coach Pettine is still here next year, but if he is, this game won't be one reason why. Jets laying the three. Up for me next, I thought about making this one my recommendation, but for my lock of the week, but I think it's key that we disagree on that one here. So up next, it is Detroit at San Diego. You have the Chargers laying three. It had been two initially here. For a game that is deemed to be essentially a push at San Diego, this is one of these, again, Vegas doesn't want to take a stand, week one deals here. OMG, Lions made the playoffs last year. You know, I mean, granted, they had Ndamukong Suh on their defensive line at the time, but I think that's what accounts for this here. And again, as I've indicated previously, too, people just don't get how good San Diego is going to be this year. Your Super Bowl 50 winner, I like them covering the 3 points here week one against Detroit.
I don't know if I gave you the wrong text or if there was something I lost in translation or something like that, or I just heard you wrong a moment ago. We agree on this one. Absolutely.
I wanted to disagree on my lock game for the week, so that's why I didn't go with San Diego
that's a very interesting strategy. Yeah, who's producing this show? Jamie Horowitz? anyway, I'm with you. I think San Diego's really undervalued here. They're better than Detroit. Detroit is a major regression team. I'm not as high on San Diego this year as you are, although with your whole chaos theory that you've laid out for the 2015 NFL season, I can see how they'd be a team that would, like, sneak into the playoffs, get hot, and make their run. I can see that. I refuse to buy in your Arizona call, but I can see that with San Diego. I've been reading that, you know, there's certainly some people suggesting that, you know, the injury luck was just, well, they weren't suggesting, they just flat out stated it, a fact. The injury luck was bad last year. It's a West Coast game for Detroit, too. Late start time. I agree with you. Chargers roll here. Fifth recommendation for me. And a rare favorite. And my only favorite of the week, too.
How about that? Although they are a home favorite here. Kyle Ross is still Kyle Ross in that regard. So we come down to the game that we're going to differ on. It is the Monday night nightcap. I believe it's our annual chance to hear Chris Berman call a game. Oh, joy. It's Minnesota at San Francisco. The Vikings are laying 2.5 here, had been getting 4.5 initially. This has been a wide swing here. So these are all controversial games wherever you have a different favorite.
Jesus.
Listen, we've been dumping all over San Francisco. Yeah, you and I both. This is all, that's the only thing that surprises me a little bit here. Again, you think I'm drinking the PBR on the Vikings, and I probably am, but I think this is the beginning of the San Francisco downfall. If this was like a 34-10 Niners defeat, I wouldn't even blink. I think this is a statement game for the Vikings, week one on the road here, the start of a playoff push, the start of the San Francisco downfall. I think it'll be happening on national TV Monday night. I am all over Minnesota weighing the 2.5 here. Not even a field goal, Kyle Ross.
Oh, boy.
Look, I think San Francisco is going to finish with the worst record in the NFC. But they're going to win games. They're not going to go 0-16. This, for me, is all about the line move and public perception. A lot of people agree with us that the Niners are going to be really bad this year. And because of that, I mean, this is just an unfathomable line move. For the line to move as much as it has. I mean, what did you say? It opened at 4.5 and now it's 2. That's a 7-point move. That is crazy. All the, because everyone, and it's not just that the public thinks the Niners are going to stink, it's that a lot of them agree with you and think the Vikings are going to be a lot better this year. I do not share that opinion, as you know. I think the Vikings' ceiling is kind of 8-8, to be honest with you. I'm on the Niners. I think the Niners pull a shocker in week one, and their downfall will then start in week two.
This would be a shocker. I will say this, though. I'm going to go back to what you said early on. Now, I know this is something that I throw out at you all the time, and you're going to say that I'm cherry-picking here on this, but the public is not always wrong. There are some instances
No, they're not. But this is a spot, like I remember last year, I absolutely loved Atlanta against New Orleans, and that was one where we had a change of favorite there as well. And, you know, Atlanta didn't have a good season at all. Excuse me while I switch ears here. But Atlanta didn't have a good season at all, but they stole that game after, you know, they got bet from favorite to underdog, and I think the Niners do too. A late start for Minnesota here. This, everyone's all about them. This just reeks of a Vikings letdown, and you know, I think the kind of loss here will be indicative of, or, you know, will kind of lead them to not making the playoffs.
Week one letdown? What have they been looking ahead to week two since July? That's the first time I've heard that.
No. I think it's a letdown for the people who believe in them, is what I mean by that. I think there's this huge belief that the Vikings, you know, have done things the right way, and they may well have. You know, I mean, I don't disagree with the way they're building the team. I just don't see the ceiling as high as other people do. I just don't. Okay. They did not beat a single team with a winning record last year. And to be laying points on the road in a very late start on national TV is putting the cart before the horse, in my opinion.
All right. Well, that is one of five underdogs that you have this week. You also have Atlanta, the Giants, Oakland, and Chicago. Ugh, some ugly kind of teams in there. You do also have San Diego as a rare favorite, albeit a home favorite, where you are taking them. San Diego is one of my big three, along with the Jets. And then, of course, again, Minnesota has my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 1. So, again, your record of 53-37 a year ago, Kyle, really gives you something here to defend the fortress, to come out storming Week 1. You have your 6 picks. Looking forward to seeing how this one shakes out.
I am too, Ricky. And until next week, you know, well, let's take the points, man. Let's take the points. Let's take the points with Bernie Sanders. How about that? Let's take the points with Bernie Sanders.
Your boy Bernie Sanders is laying points now.
Well, in New Hampshire, he's laying points. You know, we're a little nervous. You know, there's been a change of favorite there. But will you give me +5 in Iowa? I mean, come on now.
Well, to all the prognosticators of the world out there, the political ones, I'll close with this. Take the points with Rand Paul, a big fall.
What's he getting, about 32? Give me a break. Give me a break.
He's going to be the Trump killer. You heard it here first.
he's a Kentucky guy, right? Yeah, I think you didn't see a lot of those Kentucky, Alabama like lines with Ron with your boy Rand Paul and some head to head matchups. Good grief.
Well, football politics, we got it all covered here. Thanks a lot, Kyle. Check us out next week, everybody, NFL Week 2 on the FDH Lounge.